morning. Well, our message is continuing with this. Jesus' seven words of wisdom. And today we're looking at the sixth and the seventh words that God, His Son, spoke from the cross, which is very applicable to our lives today. And as we stated last few Sundays, that one of the reasons that, is that the examples is that it will help us deal with adversity. And we see adversity every day in our life. And He left us an example because He knew that we too would suffer hardships. And we're seeing, experiencing that now, aren't we, in our community. That we too would experience difficult days as the families of Carson is right now. The hardships and the suffering of the unknown. So we all experience these times in our lives, just like Jesus on the cross. And today we're going to, again, examine Jesus' sixth and seventh statement from the cross that will help us overcome our struggles in life. So first of all, as we look at the first one, be assured there is a purpose and an end. Emily's favorite saying was, everything happens for a reason. And we have to trust that everything does. And the Bible has answers to all of those. Romans chapter 8, 26 says that all things work together for the good, for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And as we look at what the scripture says here this morning, I want to read, first of all, from John chapter 19, verse 30, where it says, therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. So, the sixth statement we see here is dealing with adversity is assured that there is a purpose and an end. So, Jesus cried, it is finished. And it was not a cry of defeat, but it was a statement of victory. You know, at that moment, many of those that were at the foot of the cross were in sorrow and grief. But Jesus meant it to be positive because He came to this earth. He completed what He came to this earth to die on the cross for the sins of the world. And Jesus was in control of the situation just like He's in control of everything this moment, this day. For He was willing and He submitted Himself to be tortured and crucified for you and me. He chose to do that. He did so because there was a purpose, and that purpose was to redeem all of mankind through His shed blood, and the blood that serves as atoning sacrifice that covers yours and my sin.
Amen.
That's why Jesus did that. And when He cried, it is finished, Jesus wasn't giving up hope. That is our hope. He is our hope. And He wasn't giving up hope at all. And declaring that His life was over. He wasn't declaring it was over. He was confirming and proclaiming the completion and victory of the long race that He had run. And He cried, it is finished. It is finished. It is our call to hold firm to that assurance. Right? We hold to that assurance. And His sovereignty power will ultimately win the victory, the day. Now, When we're in the midst of a difficult situation, and Satan is trying to knock us down, and he will, he'll try to knock us down, we can look to the devil and say, and I say this to him all the time, I do. I tell him to get lost all the time.
Yeah.
And we can say, I've read the end of the book, the Bible, believers are victorious, and Satan, you lose. You lose, Satan.
Amen.
We have the victory. We have the last say so. Jesus has the last say so. You see, because we will win in the end through Jesus, this is the reason that we can rejoice. Just as the prayers this morning, just as the prayers last night, no matter what, you know, we have the victory. See, Satan is already defeated. And he knows it. He knows he's defeated. And Hebrew tells us about the purpose of the cross, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil. That's Hebrews 2:14. Now, sin and death are defeated. They are defeated already. And since all the adversity of this life arise from sin and death, from the very beginning of time, when Adam and Eve was placed in the garden, partook of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good, sin entered the world. And they knew it. That's why they went and hid themselves. They were ashamed. Their eyes were open. And they became the age of accountability at that point in time, realizing they had sinned against God. That's why God said, in the cool of the day, where are you at? He wasn't looking for information, was he? He was looking for a confession. And when we confess Jesus Christ as our Savior, he forgives us of our sins, and we are forgiven. And our troubles are already over because before they even begin. So there is an end in sight, and one day we will stand with Christ and shout along with him, it is finished.
Amen.
It is finished. It is finished. That's what I wanted to share with you with this part. It is finished because we have that victory already. We can rejoice that Christ paid the price. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And he's our Savior. Next, we need to surrender our adversity to God and just let it go, you know. Place it in his hand and know that he will take care of it from there. Now, in Luke, if you want to turn to Luke with me, find Luke here. Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 46. These verses here. And it was about, let me get the verses up there. It was about now, the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, which would be around 3 o'clock our time. Because the sun was obscured, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. Verse 46, and Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So, verse 46 says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The seventh and the final statement is dealing with adversity, is to finally surrender your troubles to God and place it in His hands. That's what Jesus did on the cross. You know, I'm always mindful of what Jesus said, and I always want to follow that example as well. Jesus said, I don't do anything on my own initiative except what the Father tells me to do. That's asking for wisdom and guidance in life. Now, Jesus was perfect in all ways, right?
Amen.
I mean, He was perfect.
Yep.
He knew all the answers, and He said all the right things. But yet, He still went to the Father because He wanted to be obedient in every area of His life, and He was. Even to the cross. Jesus addressed His Father in the final statement from the cross. Father, in Your hand I commit my spirit. Even David in Psalms chapter 31 verse 5 makes that statement that Jesus was going to the cross, die for our sins, and then He would make this statement. See, this was actually a bedtime prayer used by Jewish children, if you didn't know that. And it tells us how our Lord died confidently and willingly. In John chapter 10, if you'd like to turn there with me, I'm going to read verses 17, 18. These verses here, I mean, you might want to write these down, because Jesus confidently and willingly went to the cross and died for our sins. And in John chapter 10, let's see, yes, I have that up there, verse 17 and 18. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. And then verse 18. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. Right there, that word again. That word is used many times by Jesus. He did it. I lay down my heart and my life on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. How about that?
Yeah.
He received it from His Father, the Heavenly Father. And this is a victorious scripture for all of us. And those who know Jesus as their Savior may die with that same confidence. You and I can die with that same confidence. And I know so many people who are facing death or on their deathbed do not always have that confidence. And their faith sometimes is weak. But I believe when it comes to that time, you will have that faith. And this scripture here, you want to write this down, because this is good. This gives us a confidence and assurance that when it comes time for you and I to face the Lord Jesus Christ, this will help us in that area of our faith. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 through 8. And I want to read those to you. Well, maybe I didn't have that up there, but let me read it and you follow along with me. I'll turn to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 through 8. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn, that's our body, torn down, we have a building from God in a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. For indeed, in the house we groan in this body. Let's talk about our body, this tent we're in. Longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, in this body, we groan. Hey, do you groan with the aches and the pains and all of those things that goes on? I hear it all the time. I hear it. And I do sometimes. It's part of the old culture and nature of us, but to be clothed so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now, he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge, a promise. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, isn't this good scripture? Isn't this good stuff? Verse 8. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and be at home with the Lord. Now, that should give you assurance of when it comes time for you to meet the Lord, whenever that is, that's good assurance right there. And also, there's one more I want to read as well, and that is in Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. This is good. Another good scripture of encouragement when we're laying on our deathbed, to know that we have that assurance. Verse 20 says, verse 20 through 23. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. In verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's Paul saying this. And he spent most of his time in prison because proclaiming the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 23, but I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, that it is very much better. Paul is saying it's better for me to live, but absent the body, praise the Lord, even better. Because he knew that he wanted to win as many people to Jesus Christ as he could before he breathed his final breath. In John, 1 John, verse 5, this is the best insurance policy we have for eternal security that I know that's in the Word. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And then verse 14, I'm going to follow up with that. This is the confidence which we have before Him, before Jesus, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And those are the prayers we've been praying this morning and last night and throughout our lives. Whatever we pray, He hears us, and He will act upon those accordingly. Now, both into your hands I commend my spirit, and it is finished, are statements of definite action. And sixth word was one of triumph, and it's up there on the screen. And the seventh is one of trust. So, the words into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit, and it is finished, is one of triumph, and it is trust in the Lord. Jesus was trusting from the very beginning of time when he came from heaven to earth till he went back. He was trusting God the Father, that he was in control of all things. So from a human perspective, his words indicate an enormous act of trust. And it is on our part as well. See, he was surrendering Jesus was surrendering his own control of life into the hands of his Father, his Heavenly Father. And that's what we have to do today. Circumstances sometimes are out of control. We can't do nothing about it. We just trust God.
Yep.
And he'll make things happen according
to
God. Jesus basically was saying, I'm already released my own whole life. And I am unafraid to do so because I'm placing everything about myself into your hands. Jesus trusted the Father completely. Why can't we? We should. As I was thinking about this, about, you know, trusting God and believing and not doubting and so forth, there's an old story about a man, and you know about this story, but I just want to say it because it goes along with this message. He was walking along on a narrow path, not paying much attention to where he was going, and he slipped and he fell over this cliff, and on his way down, he grabbed hold of a branch sticking out from the cliff of the rock. And he knew he couldn't hold on for very long. So he decided he would call for help. And he hollered, is there anyone up there? I need help. There was a slight pause. God knowing he was in trouble and so forth, said, yes, I'm up here. And the man said, who are you? He said, this is the Lord. And he said, if you trust me with all your life, you'll let go of that limb. And he said, I trust you with all my life. But he said, I'm not letting go of this limb. And then he said, is there anyone else up there? Is this the way we are sometimes? You know, we need to trust God with all our life, not any unconditional doubt at all. You know, you see, when we're struck in the middle of adversity, hanging on for dear life to the thing that brings us security. See, God's not going to let go. He won't help us until we go and place our hands into His, our lives into His hands. That's when He'll take over. That's when He takes control. As long as we're clinging to that figurative branch, I'd say, we are either trusting in our own, and we are limited. We have limitations, don't we? Or we're calling out for help from someone or something other than God. We're kind of on our own, aren't we? But when we place our life into His hand unconditionally, then He takes over. He will help us. We have to be willing to give Him the control before He can and will help us. Now, in conclusion again, we just learned the last two of the seven words of wisdom. And these are based on Jesus' seven words from the cross. And these seven words are applicable to our lives. And I hope that you take a note or you read these. They're all gospels in the gospels that I've shared from week to week. And Jesus' seven words spoken are very important, and they're words that help us when we're experiencing adversity. And we will, every one of us. People are experiencing adversity every day. And words that help us any and every struggle that we face today, and we will face them each day. And now, I want to tell you that the truth about the victory that we find in these words are real. The only way that we can have this kind of victory is to place our whole life, our hope and trust in the cross, to know the one who died on that cross, that he loves us. See, his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
His name is Jesus Christ. He loves us unconditionally. And these seven words were spoken by Christ for our benefit. They're very beneficial for us to make application to them each day. And if we trust the Father as Jesus trusted his Father, our Heavenly Father, then we have that victory. It's already won. We just got to hang in there and hold on to the end. Whenever that might be, but whenever that comes, we can stand firm like Paul said, you know, I fought the fight, I kept the faith, and I finished the race. And reward is, is there for each one of us. And even those, Paul said, that love the Lord. What a glorious, glorious words that Jesus spoke that means so much to each one of us that are Christians, knowing that our faith and our trust in the Lord will prevail over anything else in this world. That's what gives us that peace that surpasses all understanding. And that gets us through life to the end. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for all these seven words that Jesus spoke, his last seven words. And Lord, they are words of wisdom for us to discern and to apply to our lives and to respond just like Jesus did in a positive way. And trusting in you with our life. Not doubt or anything like that Satan tries to place in our hearts and our minds. But Lord, know that you have us completely. That we know that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We have that confidence. Whatever we ask in your name, you hear us. And you will act upon it. No, that's a promise, and we claim it this morning. And along with that, we must respond to your invitation. When you come knocking on our heart's door, we always stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and will open the door, I will come in and fellowship with him and him with me. That means every one of us. Scripture here, Revelation 3:20 is talking about believers in the church. We are your church. We are the members of your church. And we thank you, Lord, that you loved us that much. May we respond to your invitation. However you call on us, knock on our heart's door, we'll know it, and we know what we need to respond. May we do it today. If you're knocking, Lord, may we answering your call. It's in Christ's name I pray.